Through the example of Father Capon, we are given a model of how to be hope to a hopeless world, to be light to a dark world, to be so filled with joy that people desire to be around us. There's an urgency in the world right now. I want to enter the mission territory. In fact, the Lord has called all of us into this battle for souls. He's not given anybody a pass on that. Welcome to the Foxhole.
Good morning, everyone. This is Jason Searle, and on behalf of Capon's Men, we thank you for joining us in the Foxhole on this memorial of Our Lady of the Rosary. Our men's faith formation groups follow the example of servant of God, Father Emil Capon, a priest from Kansas who lived the gospel in a simple daily life all the way through his heroic actions on the battlefields and in the prisoner of war camps in Korea, where he eventually died at the hands of his captors. Although Father Capon was ordered to safety during the Battle of Insan, his response to accompany his men during the battle that ensued and their subsequent capture resulted in Father Capon becoming the most highly decorated chaplain in the United States Army history. Foxhole's been honored to host guests who are making a difference in their communities, families, and their faith circles, and we explore how they, just like Father Capon, are doing simple things in extraordinary ways. This week, we're honored to have Tyler Blansky, who is a published poet, songwriter, and author. His most recent book with Ignatius Press tells the story of his conversion to Catholicism. It's called An Immovable Feast. He's the founder of Fight for Milk, an online resource to help fathers succeed in their vocation at work and at home. So dads, pay close attention today, no matter what your age. And sons, Tyler's perspective will help us all as we journey in our faith together. If you're wondering what Fight for Milk means, you're about to hear it directly from Tyler, about whom Archbishop Pugh says, with converts as articulate as Tyler, the church is in excellent shape. Tyler joins us from Minnesota, where he lives with his wife and children. And before I hand it over to these guys, I want to remind everyone that you can find all our work at capensmen.com. Joe's going to lead us with a prayer. And with this, it's an honor to introduce and welcome Tyler and Joe. Good morning, brothers, and thanks for joining us in the Foxhole.
It is absolutely wonderful to be here on a nice, crisp, cool fall morning. And I got up early this morning. Before we even pray, I just want to challenge those listening. You know, I was praying this morning. It was cold. It was beautiful out. I'm looking around, and nature has begun to change as we're moving into another season. And each of these seasons, I feel like, just continues to call us to a place of prayer, and a place of trust, and especially in some of the crazy chaos in our world. And I'd say to the men listening, you know, Henry Nouwen called us from absurd living to an obedient listening. And I think each time we enter a new season, it's important for us to kind of take inventory of where we are. And I find that these seasonal changes are an opportunity to restart, to rekindle, to reignite the faith, and potentially in a different space and from a different season. So what I'd say to the men listening is just make sure that as you're listening to the podcast and after you get off today, we got a power-packed, incredible guest. As soon as you're off, and maybe take some time to think through the things he's challenged you to do, look at this season, look at where you are. Maybe go a little bit deeper into the men around you and make sure you're surrounding yourself with holy men. Maybe take a second and make sure that you're staying in a place of silence and stillness on a daily basis so that God can speak to you. And lastly, maybe review and even challenge yourself to soak in the scriptures. Today I want to pray a prayer straight from the Old Testament. It's from 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 10. I'm going to use that prayer as the start for our podcast and our conversation today. So in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. O Lord, that you may truly bless me and extend my boundaries, may your hand be with me and make me free of misfortune without pain. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. Man, you heard it early on. We dropped Archbishop Chaput's name to introduce our guest, and that's a pretty strong intro when you can do that. Our guest today is Tyler, And Tyler and I have had some conversations. I've been fascinated by the ministry that he's doing and the family that he's raising and the content that he's putting out into the world. But before we get into that, Tyler, I'd love for you to share with our audience a little bit how a guy goes from Baptist to Anglican and finally lands home in our Catholic Church. So if Jason missed anything, feel free to fill in that gap and tell us a little bit about how you came to our beautiful Catholic faith.
Joe, thank you so much. Good morning, men. Okay, I'm Tyler Blansky, and I think we can all agree that our country faces a crisis of fatherhood. If we hope to pass on the blessings of liberty to our children, we can't afford to let our guard down for another moment. The culture, I really think it goes the way of the family, and the family goes the way of the father. And it's been a crazy journey from the start. Before all of this started, this perfect storm of fatherhood, isn't that what fatherhood is? It's just this perfect storm. I mean, where else do you get a career and a marriage and a brood of small kiddos all coming together and just crashing and colliding into one single life? But it wasn't always this way. So I was, before kids, I was raised as a Baptist, and then eventually kind of became a granola crunching spiritualist. Really didn't even go to church that much eventually. But eventually I went to Hillsdale College, which is this small liberal arts school in southern Michigan. And it was there that I learned the riches of our Western heritage. And it was really there at school that I became committed to my faith, as well as committed to the common good and to liberty and to virtue. But at Hillsdale, I was very anti-Catholic. I was just battling Catholics left and right. Eventually, of course, graduated college in 2006. And then I moved to Minneapolis, and I lived in this old attic above a recording studio. And Benjamin Franklin said that he who hath a trade hath an estate. And by that, he just meant that if you have a trade, you will always be gainfully employed. You'll always be able to work. So I started my own house painting business for many years, started a record label, produced music albums, wrote books. Most of them, at the time, I was Protestant. So you can read them. They're published, but they're from a very Protestant perspective. But back then, I didn't need any money. I didn't have any responsibilities, really. My hair went down to my elbows. And my only goal in life was just to live deep and not fast. But eventually, I cut my hair, and I went to this Anglican seminary to become an Anglican priest. And I make no secret in my, you know, my love of God. And really, I just wanted to have a positive impact. And in hindsight, I can see, like, the internships, prison ministry, chaplaincy, fundraising, and, of course, just all of the studies that go into seminary. Not only did it bring more responsibility and more opportunities to grow and serve, but God was up to something, and it's just a fun, fun story. I tell it in the book, An Immovable Feast, published by Ignatius Press. It's just a crazy story with, you know, left-hand turns and storms left and right. But the short version of it is, when I arrived at seminary, I did not believe in sacraments. I did not believe in holy orders. I thought that our Blessed Mother was just a girl and that, you know, invoking the intercession of the saints was idolatrous at best. And in chapters through my 3 years at seminary, at first I came to discover the real presence of our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. And then I discovered the apostolic succession and all of the sacraments, really. And then last, it's kind of the final straw was our Blessed Mother. And once I discovered just how rich and true and closely knit the communion of saints really is, and began to have really what is a personal relationship with the Blessed Virgin Mary and seeing her role in the kingdom of God and how God came into this world by way of a woman and the Holy Family. It was just everything came tumbling apart. So as you can imagine, so by then I was married to my beautiful wife, Brittany, and I had just spent 3 years in seminary, and we discovered church teaching on being open to life. So we became open to life. And we, of course, had our first child, and my son was born, Timothy. He's now 6 years old. He was born the same month that we were received into the church and that I graduated this Anglican seminary, and I had no career prospects at all. Obviously, not very many married men become celibate Catholic priests. So I didn't know what to do, but the only thing I knew was that I was called to be a Catholic father. That was my vocation, and I just had to step out into what was truly the most terrifying moment of my life. Of my wife is bedridden. She's recovering from this birth. We've got this baby. I have no job. I just finished seminary, and we just became Catholic. I knew no other Catholics, no other Catholic dads, and I felt really alone. But God came running really to the rescue. He always sees things through, and I'm just so grateful to be a part of this family that we call the Catholic Church.
Amen. If you're listening, that answer was so full of richness. And we've got today being the Feast of the Holy Rosary and Our Lady taking you into the church, and just the opportunity to understand and to go deeper in the Eucharist. If you are listening today, Tyler basically just called us out and said, get your beads out today, go into a church and pray that rosary. And even the call to just be in community with our Catholic family. What a powerful, powerful conversion. I want to move, Tyler, kind of quickly into the opening prayer, because it was intentional today. 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 10. Beautiful prayer, Old Testament prayer. And as I told you earlier, full disclosure, I took it off your website. I've read it before and certainly know a little bit about it. But I know for you, it's more than just a quick read. You've done some deep work on it. So would you share with the men what that prayer in Chronicles means to you and why you've made it part of your ministry, even the way you teach people in prayer?
Yes, absolutely. As men, prayer is our first and greatest work. And as fathers especially, it's our job to pray not only for our families, but for the common good, for our parishes, for our colleagues or employees. Even our clients, we are to pray God's kingdom into reality. But how do we do that? One powerful answer I have learned over the years is the prayer of 1 Chronicles 4:10. And this prayer, it's very mysterious. It's tucked away in one of the most boring parts of the Old Testament to most of us modern readers today. It's like four chapters of a genealogy, just name after name after name. The pages go on and on and on. But the chronicler, the author of the book of Chronicles, he interrupts this genealogy with a man, this anonymous man named Jabez. And this raises so many questions, because Jabez, he's not just listed, which is curious enough, he's listed as a man who is praying. And then the author of the book actually shares his prayer. And so the question is, why did the chronicler start this story of Israel's victories and losses and relationship with God? Why did he start this book with a genealogy in the first place? And what was so important about this genealogy that the New Testament authors used it to actually anchor Jesus's reality as being the true Messiah? And why did he choose the name Jabez? The name actually means to be born in pain, which is fascinating. He interrupts this genealogy with a prayer, and the prayer is very curious, and it's a request for more land and for God's blessing the broadening of borders, that God's hand would be with him and that he would keep him from harm. In the past, this prayer has been brought before the public as a kind of somewhat materialistic prayer for personal provision. And there's something to that for sure, but I want to suggest what my read in biblical context, the prayer of 1 Chronicles 4:10, often called the prayer of Jabez, is actually meant to be a sort of picture of the entire genealogy's prayer life, of all of Israel's prayer life. And as such, it is the prayer of a father. When we, from Scripture, right away from Genesis on, to be blessed is to have children. It's definitely linked. This is the prayer of a father. It is the prayer of Israel. It is a synopsis and a foreshadowing of the Lord's Prayer, the Our Father. And it is actually the prayer of the universal church, the prayer of every man. If you want to pray as a father for your family and have impact and pray with power and purpose and to see like a big picture biblical view of what's happening, I just want to encourage you to, you know, you could take the online course and learn more, or you could just open up a Bible to 1 Chronicles 4:10, get on your knees and pray this prayer, because it's a powerful prayer of the Father to God the Father.
Man, Tyler, you clearly are a poet, because the way you put together words and use words is a lot of fun to listen to. And that challenge of going to 1 Chronicles 4:10, is something that we as men need to pray more of. And I love hearing you say that having children blessed you, because I got 6 kids, so I'm super blessed in a lot of ways. In the research and getting to know you a little bit, I found an article that you wrote where you talked about fathers bringing joy. I think all of us were raised, and if you had an authoritative father, you maybe didn't feel like there was a lot of joy in that. And just our need to, as men, to not only react, but to initiate joy in our families. To the dads listening to this, and maybe those that will be dads eventually, can you tell us a little bit about where that thought comes from and how we can maybe cultivate that more in our families?
Yes. Okay, so men, there's something about fatherhood that reveals who we really are. Like most challenges, it's not until things get pretty bad that our true nature can come out. And I think when fathers are insecure, they tend to wait for other people around them to set the tone and to lead. And what happens is, whether it's at work or at home especially, you, not intentionally, but you end up creating an atmosphere where everything's kind of a test. Are you a good boy or a bad boy? Are you going to be a good wife or a bad wife? It's a pass-fail situation. And when this is, it comes out of a deep insecurity and really a lack of leadership on our part, a father who is confident and secure in who he is despite his failings and obvious faults, but who he is in Christ, he doesn't wait for his children to set the tone at the dinner table, or for his wife to bring the right attitude into the kitchen or the home. Not at all. He brings the joy himself. He digs down deep within his own being and finds the strength and the courage to set the tone for his home and to do it in the face of adversity. So, one common thing a lot of guys do is when you get home from work, it's very tempting, and you don't even know you're doing it, to just bring work with you, all of that baggage and stress. And you kind of, the worst thing you could do is want your wife to understand just how bad things are at work, just how stressful it is. It's not her job to really understand the full depth of how complicated and difficult your work is. What you need to do is you need to leave it in your car. And before you pass from the garage into your home, you need to be super intentional that you're leaving whatever it is that's going on inside your heart and in your head, You've got to leave it behind, because when you enter those doors and you sit down to dinner and it's time to play with the kid, your job isn't to wait for everyone else to lift up your spirits and help you feel better. Your job is to lift up their spirits and make them feel better. This is such a powerful idea to bring the joy, and it's so simple. Here's a simple trick. No matter how bad you feel, no matter how much is on your mind, if you're worried about things financially, if you're worried about a new project or a proposal that's coming up tomorrow, whatever it is, just pause for 1 second and just smile. Like, if you just smile at your kid, especially, it depends how old they are, just smiling at them, they are going, like, it's like science. They will smile back. Or if they're a little bit older, they're going to squirm and kind of look uncomfortable and be like, what's wrong with you, Dad? And that's when it's time to, you know, you could wrestle, you could talk, you could ask questions. There's so much. The same goes with your wife. Don't come home and wait for her to bring the joy. You bring the joy. And it's so simple. If you smile, this has been scientifically proven, not only will you bring the joy to others, just by smiling, you actually will change what's going on in your own body. Your own chemistry will change. So two simple things. Before you get home, pause and become intentional before you enter the door. And second, when you see your kids or your wife, bring the joy and just smile. Just give a smile. You can do it. And just remember, this is not, don't create an attitude of this is a pass-fail situation for your kids or your wife, whether it's the dinner table or the homework or resolving conflict with a sibling. No, just remember, we are all practicing. This home is a safe place for us to all practice this thing we call life. And I am leading with authority and grace and mercy, and I'm bringing the joy.
Amen. Well, let's talk fight for milk. I want to make sure we get into that as time is beginning to push back on us a little bit. Tell us about Fight for Milk. Tell us about why, what it means, and how that ministry itself is kind of growing, Tyler.
Yes. Okay. So if anyone's by their computer right now, you can just quick type in fightformilk.com, and you can kind of check it out and get a sneak peek while I'm talking here. But Fight for Milk really came out of that story I was sharing, where I thought I was called to be a priest. And when I became Catholic, obviously it became really clear to me that my vocation wasn't to the priesthood, but to be a Catholic father. And that went deep for me. This is not some kind of accidental circumstance that I happened to find myself in. For like any father, this is a vocation. It's an all-encompassing vocation. It's so much bigger than parenthood. Although parenting is very, very important, as you guys know, fatherhood, it means you have to be a breadwinner. It involves your career. It means you have to be a spiritual leader. It involves your faith. It involves your marriage. It means you have to be a step up and be a better husband. Fatherhood is a vocation that encompasses all of life. It's the perfect storm. And there's so many great resources out there that help us learn from great men who have gone before us, from saints to high virtue men and leaders. There's so much scripture and theology about fatherhood, but there's not a lot of resources that tie it all together and bring it down to earth. So fightformilk.com, it's a resource. It's a community that brings men together and gives them practical action steps that they can execute to see success in all life domains and in all key relationships as a father. If you are looking to grow professionally, if you are looking to grow in your marriage, if you are looking to see a transformation in how you relate and engage to your children, if you're looking to change the situation financially or spiritually in your home, that's what Fight for Milk is for. And the backstory is really fun. The phrase Fight for Milk comes from this phenomenal film called The Cinderella Man. You've probably seen it with Russell Crowe. Russell Crowe, he's this father and boxer, and he's just been on this horrible losing streak. His kids are literally starving. There's no food on the table until suddenly he's winning, and he's winning big time. And so this reporter asks him, he's like, hey, Jim, what are you fighting for? And Jim, he looks over at his wife and kids, and then he looks back at the reporter and he says, "I fight for milk." And that became my battle cry, not only when I first became a dad, but then when I eventually started working at a Catholic parish. I was the pastoral associate of Faith Formation for 4 years. I loved it. It was my dream job. But we reached this point where we needed to move back to Minneapolis. I needed to find ways to provide for my family. And I had to fight for milk all over again. We had to start a business from scratch. It was 8 months without any income. If you want to see a grown man cry, watch him tuck his kids into bed at night when he's trying to start a business. It's just the hardest thing he can do. But I had to fight for milk. And what I love about Jim's story in The Cinderella Man is he wasn't fighting for medals or fame or trophies or recognition. He was fighting to provide for his family. And for me, the fight for milk means so much more than just financial provision. It means spiritual, emotional, everything. You are to be a provider in every possible way for your family. And that's what fightformilk.com is all about, is just bringing men together and investing in them. In all likelihood, no one has invested in you as a father in a very long time, even though it's your job to invest in others. And that's what I want to do, is I want to just pour myself into men and help build them and bring them together so that they can succeed in this terrible and awesome vocation we call fatherhood.
Kyle, you're getting me fired up, man. This is a lot of what we're doing in Capon's Men. So I know you mentioned the website and you mentioned a few things. As we're closing up our time here, I'd really love for you to tell us some ways that the guys listening, either on the call or eventually into the podcast, can connect with you, the ministry you're doing. How can we encourage it? Because it is a message that not only needs to be in Minneapolis, but needs to be spread all over the world. So talk to us a little bit about some connection points that we can have with you in the ministry that you're doing.
Oh, my goodness. Thanks, Joe. Okay, so it would just be pure joy to make the connection with you guys. Right now, I've set it up. If you go to fightformilk.com, fightformilk.com, you can learn more about this apostolate for men with a vocation to fatherhood. And I've set it up so that you can get a free 28-day pass. You can redeem that pass. It's a free 28-day trial where you can just come alongside me. You get daily 2-minute videos right from me to you every morning. You get access to all the online courses. One of them is about the forgotten prayer of 1 Chronicles 4:10. Another one is the Fight for Milk Challenge. There's a membership orientation, which is super cool. But really, just hop on in. It's totally free for 28 days, and it'd be so cool to meet you. You get my cell phone number. You get my email. We can be in touch. I'd love to hear your story. I'd love to share more of mine. I really think that when men come together, good things happen, and God is on the move. And this whole apostolate of fightformilk.com is designed to be not one more thing. It's not one more thing you need to physically show up to or leave your family for. It's entirely on your terms, your pace, your schedule, so that you can succeed and not only bring glory to God, but bless your family, grow professionally, and become the best version of yourself.
Man, thank you, Tyler, and thank you for your kindness and generosity. I know I'm going to head over there and check this out. I'd love it, Tyler. We ask every man who comes on, or every guest who comes on the podcast, to pray us out. So what I'm going to invite you to do is to pray us out of here. Scott will come in on the back end when you're done praying. But I just want to thank you. Thank you for all the work you're doing with men. Thank you as a father for all the work you're doing with fathers. And I want to assure you, not only of my prayers, but of all of the prayers of those that are listening and those of us that are connected to Capon's Men. So pray us out of here, Tyler, and then we'll head towards Scott.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, God, we thank you for coming to us in such a real and physical way in the person of Jesus Christ, and for revealing yourself not as an angry or disappointed ruler far away, but as a loving Father who is close and at hand. I ask that you would help us in our own lives to not be angry or disappointed, but like strong and loving fathers, whether at home or at work, with our wives and children, or with our colleagues or employees or clients, to be like you, to be slow to anger, to be quick to listen, to be full of mercy, to be patient. Give us a deep and relentless trust in you, that you will provide and that you truly want the best for us, that if we step out in faith and follow you and trust you with our finances, trust you with our bodies, trust you with our homes, with our relationships, that you won't disappoint, that you will come through and give us better than we could have imagined. On our own, we know we don't have the courage it takes or the strength, and we need you. Father in heaven, I pray that you would bless these men and fathers, that you would broaden their borders as you broaden the borders of your kingdom, and that your hand would be with them every hour of every day and in every conversation, and that you would keep them from every harm, financial harm, emotional harm, and especially spiritual harm. Saint Joseph, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thanks for joining us in the foxhole today, Tyler. It was really great to hear the story of how the Lord guided you to the church, the fullness of the sacraments, and also just to receive so much encouragement in our vocation as husbands and fathers. I think all of us want to succeed in those roles, but obviously we can't do it alone, and we need that wisdom, that encouragement, that fellowship with other husbands and fathers. So we really appreciate the work that you're doing with Fight for Milk. The challenge this week is twofold. First of all, check out some of those great resources that Tyler has made available at fightformilk.com. Again, the 4-week free trial is a great way to check that out as a starter. And secondly, just pray the rosary with your family. Whether you're listening today on the Feast of Our Lady of the Rosary or at a later date, either way, Father Capon would encourage us to go to our Blessed Mother and to pray for us in our vocations, that we may succeed, that we may be like God the Father. If you've enjoyed listening to the podcast, please share with a friend. Check us out on Instagram, on Facebook, at Capon's Men. And if you feel called to it, just give us a good review. It'll help us spread the word of Father Capon and his cause for canonization. Next week, we have Colonel Doug Thomas, who will be joining us. Doug is a friend of our Capon's Men chaplain, Father John Lansreth, and he's a listener of the podcast. He was recently diagnosed with cancer, and so he retired from a long career in the Army in order to wage war on this new enemy. A lifelong fighter, he'll share his thoughts about service, about faith, and about the things that help us overcome any obstacle that life may throw at us. So until then, stay humble, stay courageous, and keep fighting for milk.
Thanks for joining us in the foxhole. As we go, we're blessed to leave you with these words from Father Capon himself.
We can surely expect that in our own lives there will come a time when we must make a choice between being loyal to the true faith or of giving allegiance to something else which is either opposed to or not in alliance with our faith. O God, we ask of Thee to give us the courage to be ever faithful to Thee. Blessed are they who suffer persecution for justice' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. May the blessing of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit descend upon all of you. Amen.